Hi, I'm Michael Primrose, and this is the Property Finance Podcast. If you have an interest in growing your property portfolio, have experience in development, or you're just looking at starting out, then this could be the podcast for you. We talk all things property finance, we look at products, strategy, and more. So keep listening and check out some of our other episodes to make sure that you're up to date with all things property finance. Hi everyone, welcome to month number two of Running a Live Deal. So one of the first things that I would say, if anyone's ever looking at doing a podcast or vodcast while they're running a live deal, is keep a diary. One of the biggest things that I've realised when I've come to record this episode is I've forgotten absolutely everything that I've done over the last month. Come to record this and gone, what have I actually achieved with the last 4 weeks on this deal? And it's only when you start to sit and think about it, you think, oh, well, actually, I did that. But it'd just be so much quicker if I kept a diary of this is what we did, et cetera, et cetera. So that would be my number one top tip for anyone who's looking at running a live deal and broadcasting it out on the socials is definitely keep a diary. So where we are up to is at the end of the last episode, I think we were talking about how we had secured a site for 21 units. We were looking at putting in amended planning for 10 units, 10 larger dwellings. And we just started to go through the build cost, the GDV, really starting to nail down some of those costs. And we'd got to the point where we'd kind of started to nail down the purchase price. So 1.2 million if we go for the 21 units, 1.5 million if we go for the 10 units. Purely that's based on the fact of because there's deferred payments, etc., the vendor wanted to see a bit of an overage for going for a larger GDV scheme, because the GDV on the 21 units is about 5.2 million, the GDV on the 10 units is about 7 million, and the build costs don't actually change all that much. So actually from our perspective, it's much more profitable to run the 10 unit development than it is the 21 unit. So that's where we got to at the end of the last episode. Where we are at the moment. So we've spent a huge amount of time working with the architect, coming up with site drawings, coming up with layout plans, coming up with CGIs, coming up with house types. There's been a huge amount of work that's actually gone in just to even come up with how many units we're going to get on the scheme. The big disappointment for this month, and what has dealt quite a large blow, I guess, to the development, is we have discovered upon plotting out what we really want on the site that we can probably only get a maximum of 9 units. Now, we could push for a 10th if we wanted to, but realistically it's not going to make all that much difference to the GDV, because we're going to end up going for 10 4 beds as opposed to 9 5 beds. And we want to make sure they've all got decent sized gardens, nothing too major, but enough to kind of enjoy. From that perspective, we've been dealt quite a serious blow on the GDV with that. Quite a serious blow on the scheme with that. What it does to the GDV is it probably takes us down from 7 million down to probably 6.5, 6.6, I would say. So we're now in a quandary as to actually what scheme works better. So do we push forward with the 21 units, lower purchase price, potentially get a bit more speed because they're just 21 shoeboxes, as I would describe them. It was a scheme that was designed for affordable and housing association style housing. GDV of that is 5.2, less the affordable, which comes out about 4.6. We probably think we can build it out and the purchase and everything else all in for probably about 3.8, I would say. So there's about 800 grand profit in the deal. Then we look at the 9-unit scheme, and the profit on that is about 1.2 million. There's about 400 grand difference. However, where I'm getting in my own head, and anyone who's done a development or looking at doing developments will know, you get in your own head so quickly about things, you start to question things so quickly, you start to question your own decisions, you start to question the future. None of us have got a crystal ball. None of us have got an ability to see what the market is going to be like in 12 months, 18 months, 24 months' time. My biggest worry that I have, and this I'll take you on a little journey through my mindset. My worry at the minute is if I build 9 4-bed houses or 9 5-bed houses, they're going to get stuck on the market. And I worry that I'm going to go to build them. They're going to be big 650, 700 grand houses. I'm going to get to the end of it, and all of a sudden, I'm going to have 8 or 9 houses that I just can't get rid of because either they're too expensive for the market or there's issues with liquidity, whatever. People just may not be interested in that kind of housing at that point in time. So that's my big worry about the 9-unit scheme. With the 21-unit scheme, I don't have that many worries. Relatively quick to construct, relatively quick to dispose of, because they're going to be 2 3-bed houses, relatively easy to keep hold of a few of the units as well as rental stock. So I'm sort of in a position now where I'm thinking, okay, is there a better strategy here? Do I go with the 21 units? Do I build the 21 units out? Do I keep 4 units? That would be the plan, was to keep 4 out of the 21. And do I then, because we've acquired a second site of 9 units, which are 9 4-beds, do I put my risk appetite, or do I put my risky side of my brain into that development of 9 units and keep this 21 as my safe development, my not risk-free, no development in the world is ever risk-free, but slightly more risk-free than a larger development. Now, at the point of recording this, there's also been news released that Skipton, I think it's Skipton Building Society, have released a no-deposit mortgage for renters. So they've now released a mortgage which is no deposit as long as you can prove 12 months worth of rental payments going out of your account on time within the last 18 months. And they've also said if as long as you're paying all your utilities and everything else. So there's a bank or building society there that are really pushing the first-time buyer market, really trying to help people get on the property ladder. There isn't anything like that for a 4 5-bed house. So I did some calculations for myself personally because I rent. So I went in and put in what my rental payments are that I've made, and Skipton Building Society pushed out that I could borrow about £260,000 based purely on what I've paid in rent. So they don't do any affordability calculations or anything like that for the first stage. It's just based on what you're paying out on rent, here's what you can afford. So I put mine in and they said, right, you can borrow £261,500. So I had a look at my development and I said, okay, if I was me as a first-time buyer, I've got £261,000 to spend. I'm not going for a 4-bed house, a 5-bed house. I'm going for a 3-bed, semi 3-bed terrace around this area for around £225,000-240,000. There's going to be, I think, within the next 18 to 24 months, a real push to get first-time buyers into the market, start pushing people into the property ladder. If Skipton have done it, more will follow. More will see, as long as Skipton have success, more banks will see that. They will see that there is a successful product there. They will see that there is something there that people want, that people are after. And in theory, they will potentially bring out their own competitor products. So I think over the next 18 to 24 months, and like I said, none of us have got a crystal ball, so this is all purely based off of what's happening in the market around us at this given moment. I think in the next 18 to 24 months there's going to be a real push for first-time buyers and getting people onto the property ladder. So from my perspective, when I look at that, I look at, okay, I've got 9 units with no government assistance, no assistance for anyone to get in on those units. It's just going to be people who are either migrating up from London, people who are looking at upsizing, for example. Whereas the 21 units, there's government assistance, there's essentially the equivalent to now a kind of almost a Help to Buy 2.0, or what will be 3.0 probably now on Help to Buy, from Skipton, who are kind of bringing in this new assistance. So there's something there where I know if something goes wrong on that development, actually, there's a few more people available to buy the units. And like I've said the whole way through as well, I can keep some of those units for myself as well. Starts to build up the portfolio in the background. Nice little rental properties, 2-3-bed houses. They'll rent all day long, immediately. Probably looking at, I would say at the minute in this area, 3-bed houses probably going for 995. Now, I could keep 4 of those mortgage-free, hopefully, as long as everything stacks up. Keep 4 of those mortgage-free, that's £4,000 a month net cash flow from those properties. Depending on whether I wanted management on them or not. But even if you took management out of that, you're probably talking £3,500 a month net cash flow. That's a big old chunk of change every month coming in with minimal issue, minimal voids, hopefully. But £3,500 coming in every month with very little hassle. The 9 developments, the 9 unit development, I can't keep any of those. It's too large a development. They wouldn't rent, they wouldn't yield. You're probably talking on a 4 or 5 bed house around here, maximum £2,000 a month. Absolute maximum. I mean, you're probably looking more like £1,700 a month. So £1,700 a month versus, and that's for a 700 grand house, £1,700 a month versus 700 grand versus £3,500-£4,000 against 4 200 grand houses. And this is where my head is at, and this is where I'm starting to get into the point now where I'm like, right, okay, I need to make a final decision on this. And that's where I'm getting to, is kind of, there's now this inner conflict of, do I go for a big stately home, 9-unit development, beautiful stone build, absolutely phenomenal, 1 in a million houses, which might struggle to sell? Or do I go for 21 units that will fly off the shelf, but I'll make less money, but potentially higher monthly cash flow? And that is just a whistle-stop tour through what my brain does on a daily basis. And if some of you are still listening after 12 minutes of me waffling about my brain going from A to B to C to D, back to A again, I think where my head is at now is actually probably leaning more towards the 21 units. And having kind of spoken it out loud for the last 5-6 minutes, you guys have almost ended up being my silent psychiatrist, almost, in that you have inadvertently sat and listened to me waffle for the last 10 minutes about the pros and the cons of each way. And actually, my gut feel is probably that the 21 units does make a bit more sense. And actually, possibly, there is more of a market there to go ahead with it. So that's where my head's at. In terms of the 9-unit scheme, obviously, we're still pushing forward with that at the moment. The 21-unit scheme has planning and is probably pretty close to being there or thereabouts now, I would think. So we're at the point now where I'm sort of on the 9-unit scheme, going through CGIs, going through site layouts and everything else. We've had our QS, so we're using a gentleman called Jake Southers, who's appeared on the podcast before. He's had an initial look over the figures. He's now kind of working alongside us and dealing with the contractor and kind of bouncing back and forth with the contractor a bit, just to kind of work out where we're at in terms of build costs. And obviously, he will go through the process of basically nailing down those build costs. So it'd be his role and responsibility to ensure that, yeah, all of that paperwork is done and ready. And actually, one thing that I have really learned during this last month is that having a very good QS on board is invaluable, without a shadow of a doubt, especially when you're starting to get into the nitty-gritty of stuff. Massively valuable stuff. And I think the thing is a lot of people rely on the lender's QS to come out to kind of give you that bit of feedback and kind of look after you, but actually having your own QS on board, someone who you can kind of rely on to give you unbiased feedback, is something massively, massively valuable to have. So that's one of the big lessons I've learned this month, is having a good QS on board. So that's where we're at the minute. Still very much in a inner turmoil of which scheme to go for. But I think, like I said, for those that have listened for the entirety of this episode, we'll probably see that the pros of the 21-unit site far outweigh the negatives. So for me, this next month is going to be about going and really nailing down which way I want to go with this and pushing forward. Because if I decide to go for the 21-unit site, we really are in a position where we can push forward, because planning is in place. The pre-commencements just need clearing. But other than that, we are in a place where we can push forward. We can get this done. So, yeah, that's where we are, basically. So keep an eye out on socials. We're putting a lot of videos out. There's a lot of videos going out now about the development. You'll see site visits and everything else. What I'll probably do is, as we push forward, is this 21-unit site, whether it be 21 or 9 units, is site number one. We have also now got site number two secured and now heading into legals. So what I'll probably do is, this is actually going to become kind of a dual spearheaded podcast, probably, because I'll probably end up talking about both of them. So I'll try and keep it as unconfusing as possible, but there may be a bit of crossover as we kind of move into the second site as well, because that's moving at an absolute rate of knots. So that's pushing forward really, really quickly. So from that perspective, yeah, we should have that all kind of sorted relatively swiftly. So I'll keep everyone updated on that one as well. But other than that, that just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening. And I will catch you on Running a Live Deal Part 3 at the beginning of June. So thank you very much, and I'll catch you on the next one. Cheers.